Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
We got to catch up a little bit on the opponent preview series. We missed it last week being at SEC Media Days in Texas. So it's only fitting that we talk about Texas A&M. David Nuno joins us now from Texags Radio. I was literally just on his program. So we got a lot of deja vu happening right here. And David, I talked about breath of fresh air when we talked about Texas A&M on your show. And it feels like if A&M is 8-4 or 9-3 this year, that is a completely different 8-4 or 9-3 than it would have been a season ago. Does it feel like the mood is just lighter in College Station under the new administration?
I think it's interesting because without having the Jimbo Fisher, you're still paying the contract, but the Jimbo Fisher aura, if you will, like, it was only going to be a good season for opposing fan bases, right, to give him any credit, or A&M internally if they won 10 games. Look, I'm not one that would be happy with an 8-4 season or 7-5 season that a lot of people are predicting, because this team went 7-5 last year and could have easily won 8 or 9 games, right? And I say easily because they had games that came down to the wire. The last couple of years, they go 12-12 combined. Yeah, they lost because they were a dysfunctional program. The one thing that Jimbo was actually really good at was controlling games that you think they're going to get blown out in, right? You think they're going to get blown out by LSU. You think they're going to get blown out by Ole Miss. Yet they're leading LSU in the fourth quarter and really giving Jaden Daniels all he can handle, right? And beat him the year prior, by the way. And with Ole Miss, you know, you fall down, was it 19-0, whatever it was, and you lose because you miss a field goal to tie the game. So my point is 7-5 last year, and there was a couple of Alabama, you were leading in the fourth quarter of that game. A couple of these games that a play or a better decision, coaching decision potentially, you can win 8 games. You can win 9 games those seasons. I think the difference is with Coach Elko, you expect the team to be run well, and the talent is still here. Yeah, half the team is different, but the talent is still here. And if you got a quarterback, to me, it comes down to the health of your quarterback position. If your offensive line can be better than it's been the last 3 years, which is a big F still, then I think this team should be a 9-3, 8-4 level of team, and people can see the future being bright. But if the offensive line is another train wreck, then we're having a different conversation.
9-3 is what I've got written down. I got my helmet schedule right here, David. I got 9-3 written down for the Aggies. I think they're gonna. I think I told you. I think they're gonna surprise somebody. And they're going to get a win that people maybe don't have circled today. Colin Klein, I've loved watching Kansas State play football the past couple of years, and I loved watching him play football when he was at Kansas State as the quarterback. Love the style of offense they run. Does what he wants to do offensively, does it fit with what A&M has on that roster?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, with every coaching change and offensive coordinator change, there's a transitional period, right? Like, this is Connor Wigman's third different basic. Well, I don't know. You could say it's the second system or your third, if you believe Bobby Petrino was able to install his offense here, or if you don't, right? He was involved in it. There was some terminology that Bobby did adapt to and vice versa, right? So do I think this offense with Colin Klein is going to be much better? Absolutely. He's innovative. He's fast. He uses the tight ends. He likes to run the ball a lot. There's some misdirection. There's a lot of different things that we did not see in the prior regime that frankly kind of surprised me. Now, that being said, I think Jimbo Fisher could have won here at A&M. Maybe not to the level that they hired him to do in 2018, but he was so stubborn in not only his offense, but in getting rid of coaches at times, that I think that is part of the reason it did not work. But those teams were good enough from a talent perspective and managing games perspective to win a lot of games. I think with Colin Klein, you're going to have an innovative offense. And we're going to see when Connor Wegman is healthy, and he's been healthy other than getting hurt last year, he is one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC. Coming into that Auburn game when he got hurt, he was being listed as one of the top 3 or 4 quarterbacks in the SEC. Is he that this year? We'll see how he comes back from injury. But with Colin Klein calling the plays and designing an offense for him, I do believe he's going to have a bang-out year.
Defensively, it's interesting when you look at the A&M coaching staff. They have a defensive coordinator, a co-defensive coordinator, but the head coach is kind of the defensive coordinator, and Mike Elko. Defense is his calling card. A&M defensively over the past few years has just been kind of for lack of a better word. They've had some good moments. They've had some bad moments. Well, what's the ceiling on this defense for the Aggies?
Top 3 or 4 in the SEC.
Okay.
I think that's your ceiling. Mike Elko says is the most talent he's had at A&M. If you go back to some of the prior teams, and he had some pretty good teams. Let's not forget that 2020 team was pretty excellent.
Really good.
Yeah. Look, I did not like DJ Durkin's system. DJ Durkin's defense last year was pretty good. It got to the quarterback. The problem was the secondary. The secondary was atrocious, right? Edgen Cooper had a bang out year. He's no longer there. So if the secondary, and they've brought in some nice additions to the secondary, you got some young players coming in, you've got some transfers coming in. If the secondary is just half better, right? Like they don't have to be great. Just that it was just atrocious watching that secondary. I think the defensive line is going to be the key to this team. Nick scored 10 sacks at Big Ten at Purdue transfer. He's going to be huge. We've seen Shamar Turner grow into this elite defensive type player, Shamar Stewart as well, DJ Hicks. There's a lot of options on the defensive line. They're going to get after quarterbacks. They're going to cause some havoc. So I think the ceiling is probably top three, but closer to three or four, right? But the bottom shouldn't be that bad. Like, we're talking five or six in my eyes. Now, the linebacker position is interesting because I think Torian York is a stud. There's a reason he went to SEC Media Days. He is a stud without a doubt. But no Edgerrin Cooper. Can some of these transfers step in and do a nice job? If Torian can take off, and again, I like DJ Durkin. He's nice, but this is a better defensive coordinator calling it. And I'm just talking about just with Mike Elko taking hold of it, I think it'll be better defense.
You know, we're a couple years removed from A&M having to rely on a lot of freshmen out of that number one rated recruiting class. I don't think A&M is going to have near as many young faces on the field this year. But who's a new face from the freshman class, not so much the transfers? I see Terry Bussey, one of the top corners in the country last year. Who is the guy who could make maybe an early impact for the Aggies?
Terry Bussey, without a doubt. I think he's going to play a role in multiple positions. By the way, he can play offense too. I don't think he plays offense this year. But I think he's going to play, and at some point, you're going to be hearing his name in multiple ways, not only there in the secondary, but also as maybe a kick returner, punt returner, because of his speed, his breakout ability. He's one. And one that is not a freshman, but is basically a freshman, is Dez Ricks, who transferred from Alabama, five-star, who didn't play last year, right, or very limited. I think he's a guy that we were talking about, young, five-stars being added to a secondary that's going to have some transfers holding the fort down. Those are a couple names that you could absolutely see be some big names for this team. Those are the names that I'm really paying attention to. The beauty is you don't have to force some of these freshmen to play. Like you're kind of blessed in that respect that you've got freshmen that can help out, but they can ease their way into the lineup.
When I look at the Mississippi State game for Texas A&M, State doesn't play a lot of games that I would say trap game, but it's between two home games. There is a bye week in there, but it's between the two home games with Missouri and LSU, which are really, I don't know if they're make or break games for A&M this season, but those are two games that if A&M can win them, they're going to be maybe even ahead of schedule for what you would say. For Mississippi State, they've had success against Texas A&M over the past few years. I don't know that this year is so much going to be the case. Is there a, you know, I don't know if concern is the right word, but how does A&M view that game in between those two games with Missouri and LSU?
Well, I think going on the road against Mississippi State, I saw it firsthand a couple years back. The first time I went there, it was a game that A&M had an opportunity, even though the score was definitely in Mississippi State's favor. Mm-hmm. There were a couple plays in the first half that, you know, I think Devon Achane fumbled a football on the way. It would have been a touchdown, given them, I think it would have been a 13-3 lead, something to that effect, right? It was a close game, but it would have given them a little different momentum. And if I remember correctly, Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't State right before the half block a field goal, run it back, right? Yeah. So it is a hard place to play. And I don't just say the Cowbells. I just think any time on the road in the SEC, right, anytime, outside of maybe Vandy, those are hard venues to play in. That's what Texas and Oklahoma are about to find out. There's no cakewalk in the SEC, unless you have Texas's schedule this year. But there isn't really a cakewalk in the SEC because, like, you go to Missouri, it may not be a vaunting stadium, but it is hard to win on the road. It is hard to win at Mississippi State, and A&M has had their problems no matter what kind of year State has had.
I'm going to ask you the final question it's the question you asked me on your show. You talked about, you know, Lebby this year, and then how long does he get to get Mississippi State back to maybe where they were a little bit under Dan Mullen. Same sort of question for Elko. I think obviously he's ahead of Jeff Lebby. He'll have a good season this year, but how long until, you know, how many seasons without making a college football playoff could Mike Elko get at Texas A&M?
I think you get 3 years to get to a college football playoff, but I will tell you, I'm not expecting them to make the college football playoffs this year.
Right.
But they have, there's a path for it to happen.
Yeah.
And the path for them, if they are this 8-4, 9-3 type of team that I think a lot of people are predicting that they fall, there's some people picking 7-5, which I get, right? Mm-hmm. But your hardest games are at home, okay? Can you beat Notre Dame game one? You sure can. Nobody knows Riley Leonard better than Mike Elko. Does that mean you're going to win that game? But Notre Dame is going to be in the playoffs. You look at that schedule, A&M's one of the hardest games on their schedule. Mm-hmm. If you get that game, you get LSU at home, okay? You get Texas at home. Like, these are all games. You get Missouri at home. These are all teams that expected to be in the playoffs. If you win those games at home, and there's a big if in that, right? There's a path for you to get in the playoffs because your away games, all of them, are against teams that are not expected to be ranked when you play them. You play, but this team hasn't won on the road since 2021, dude. It's been forever, right? So these are all big ifs. But you're asking me long term. They need to be in the. It'd be great for them to be in the conversation November 1st. Not, you know, like a long shot conversation. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take you back to 21, year they lost at Kyle Field in Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. They went 8-4 that year. But entering November, they were in the conversation to play in the SEC championship game because they controlled their own destiny, right? They had a one out, and they needed Alabama to lose to Auburn, which they did not end up losing that last game of the season. But again, they were in the conversation. If you're in the conversation this year, I think next year, especially with the expanded playoffs, can you get in? By year three, you better get in. But, you know, there's no way to answer these questions fully, as you know, because what happens? Do you lose another quarterback? Do you get an unexpected victory and it puts you in the conversation sooner than you expected? There's so many different ways to skin it. But I think A&M fans are willing to be patient if they see progress. We did not see progress with Jimbo after the 2020 season. And some people take that season away from him, but because you're knocking on the door in 21, 22. All right, you got the greatest class ever and you go 5-7. And then last year, all right, maybe that was just an issue, but no, it was bigger issues, it was deeper issues. I think Mike's got 3 years to kind of prove something. But I hate to give a timeline because, again, there's so many different storylines that get you to that record.
We'll see what happens. Mississippi State, Texas A&M, kind of the middle of the season. That'll be a good game. State should be, has a good chance to be 4-2 coming into that game. And with A&M, just real quick, I mean, a chance to be 5-1, 6-0 possibly coming into that game. So, should be an interesting one in Starkville. David, appreciate your time as always, man. Great to talk to you, and we'll see you again this season.
I appreciate you, brother. Talk to you soon.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.